Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I meet with military veterans to learn about their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice for other veterans seeking to do the same. Today's episode number 247 with Stephanie and Corey Perez.
And she told me one day, I remember when she said it, like, hey, I think I can do this better. I want to start a company. And I said, do it. And like, I just had no idea what those two words would really lead to. And we're still early in the adventure, but it was just really cool to kind of see her light up when she actually thought about starting her own company.
Well, this is the first interview I've done with the spouse of a member of the armed forces. And it's kind of crazy to think it took me this long to do that. Hopefully more of these in the future. It's a fantastic interview for anyone interested in entrepreneurship. So the guests on the show are both Stephanie and Corey. Corey is a Navy O3 currently on active duty in Coronado, California. And his wife, Stephanie, together started Perspective Fitwear. In this interview, we talk about the nuts and bolts of starting a company, including how to incorporate, how much it costs, how to get a logo, and more. We talk about the rule of 12, how it takes 12 interactions until a customer makes a purchase. We talk about how everything in a startup takes twice as long and costs twice as much as you'd think. We talk about how incredibly difficult it is to get attention when you're starting a company, what it's like to work with a spouse, the importance of structure, and more. I've been an entrepreneur for over 10 years now, and Stephanie's advice and experience felt spot on from my perspective. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, in the show notes for this episode, you will find links to everything we discuss. You will find over 245 other episodes just like this, absolutely for free, and you'll find information about Beyond the Uniform's coaching program, where you are connected with a subsidized, professional, certified executive and career coach to help you figure out your next career move. It's a great resource whether you're thinking of getting out of the military in 5 years or whether you've been out for 5 years as well. A lot of great value there, and excited to see the impact we're having on people's lives. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Stephanie and Corey. Well, joining me today in San Diego, California, is Stephanie and Corey Perez. Welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thank you.
Good morning, Justin.
So I wanted to give listeners a little bit of background on the call. I got into cycling this year, which got me into triathlons, and I went to Tempe, Arizona for my first triathlon, which was their half Ironman. And when I was walking around prior to the, you know, the day prior to the race, they've got all the tents and different people selling different things. And I ran into Stephanie, who was there on behalf of her company, her and Corey's company, Perspective Fitwear. So this was a couple months ago, and gave her my contact information and was excited to kind of highlight their story, because I think it's going to be interesting for both people on active duty as well as significant others. There's a lot here about entrepreneurship. But let me give you just a quick rundown on Corey and Stephanie. First of all, Corey is a Navy O3 and FRS instructor pilot for the MH-60S in Coronado, California. He started out at the Naval Academy. He's been on active duty for over 7 years now, obtained a master's degree in systems analysis at the Naval Postgraduate School. And Stephanie is the founder and CEO of Perspective Fitwear. She co-founded it with Corey with the goal of developing a line of fitwear designed with the woman's body in mind and to help their customers feel both confident and comfortable. She is a collegiate athlete and an Ironman triathlete. And prior to founding Perspective Fitwear, she worked in merchandise buying and planning for Macy's in New York City. So maybe to start things off, Stephanie, if you were to run into someone, maybe one of Corey's friends who's on active duty, and they asked you what Perspective Fitwear is, how would you explain what it is that you do?
Yeah, so I would say Perspective Fitwear is an athletic clothing company influenced in triathlon and multi-sport activities. And right now we are designed specifically for women.
And where did this come from? Like, what was the genesis of starting this company?
Yeah, so it definitely came from my background within triathlon. I've been racing and participating in the sport for over 10 years. And I've always been an athlete growing up. And like you mentioned, I played Division I field hockey in college. And so over the years, I was introduced to triathlon from my neighbor. I lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and 10 years ago, that wasn't something that was very popular, and then especially women in triathlon. So I was immediately interested and just inspired by her and her training. And so after I graduated from college, I embarked on my first triathlon, and I was hooked. But through the years, I realized there isn't a whole lot offered for women. And a lot of the apparel is really catered to that elite athlete who's looking to race, podium, but go to Kona, those sorts of things. And so, me, I was more of the athleisure, the amateur, the recreationalist, weekend warrior, whatever you want to call it, and just really doing it for fun. And so, being frustrated with a lot of the clothing, I decided that I think I could do it myself and make clothing that was more catered to women to make them feel comfortable and confident. Because when I feel confident in what I'm wearing and comfortable, then I feel more confident as a person and I have more fun. And not looking good in something should never be a reason that you miss out on activity in your life and things that you want to do.
I love it
I
'cause
knew
it.
Steph.
Oh, go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, I knew Stephanie for a couple of years before she actually started the business, and she did a few races during that time. And she would complain about, these little things about the tri kit that she'd be wearing. And she told me one day, I remember when she said it, like, "Hey, I think I can do this better. I want to start a company." And I said, "Do it." And like, I just had no idea what those two words would really lead to. And we're still early in the adventure, but it was just really cool to kind of see her light up when she actually thought about starting her own company.
That's awesome. And Stephanie, I can imagine what I'm the story I'm kind of making up, and I'd love some thoughts on if this is true, but it's like you've got 5 years experience at an incredible company around merchandise buying that gives you a unique perspective on the world, and then you're doing this recreationally, and you see, like many companies start, you see this pain point, you experience it firsthand, and because you've got this background, you actually have the skills to actually make those changes and try that. Is that about how it came about?
Yes, definitely. It was absolutely my experience working with Macy's and their buying department. I also worked over in their inventory. Then I did their financial planning. My background was a finance major. So from that angle of starting a business, I felt very confident that I could really hone in on those skill sets that I have developed over the last 7 years working in the corporate retail world that I felt confident in my abilities.
So I mean, just to get really granular, what was it like? So you have this insight. Corey, is supportive of moving forward on this. What do the next couple of months look like? Do you immediately go to build the first prototype, or like what actually happens there?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and I think that's probably a question a lot of people ask, like what do you do next? You have this idea, now what? And I will say I love that the first thing we did was we really developed our brand and what our company was going to be before we even started designing the first product. I knew what the issue was. I knew some of the things I wanted to change, but Corey and I sat down together. He's the one that actually came up with the name Perspective. And so we figured out, okay, what's our business name going to be? And what's our mission statement, right? What's our goal of why we're starting this? And then I wanted to create a logo. And so therefore, then I really had something to a foundation to start off of to say, oh, this is a brand. Okay, now what's the next step? getting incorporated. So I found a lawyer through my, you know, family accountant. She incorporated us. We had to write a whole business plan. And so taking these initial steps before even developing the first product really helped give us just kind of our path for what we wanted the business to be. And it really gave us structure, because that's what's really going to make the business successful, is having that consistency and taking yourself seriously. So when I'm incorporated and I've got this brand and I've got this name and logo, I feel just like it's real.
That's awesome. And I think that that's underestimated by some people. I know when I started my first company, I was saving every single penny possible, but I got an office at, Regis, this, you know, monolithic company. I bought like a $300 a month office there. And the main reason I did that was I just didn't feel real. Like, it felt like I was just putting on my dad's business suit and, you know, as a little child, and my, you know, the sleeves extended 3 feet past my arms. I just felt like a big fraud, and having an office for me made me feel more legitimate. And it sounds like that's one of the things that having the logo did for you. Who did you use for the logo, or how did you go about that?
Yeah, so I actually, you know, I was talking with my family about doing this, and Corey's family, and everyone's excited. And so I was on the phone with my dad, and he worked high up for this company called Custom Ink. And they have their own creative, you know, design team. And so he had reached out to them just to inquire if anyone did freelance work on the side. And so this girl, Jazz, she's great. I'd be happy to give out her information to any, you know, I have before, and to anyone who would ever be interested. She, you know, reached out back to him and said, yeah, you know, she does freelance work on the side. And so he connected the two of us, and then we immediately started working together and working on the logo. So that's kind of how that started.
That's so funny. Literally right before this, I'd run to the post office because I had ordered from Custom Ink two of the guys who help out with Beyond the Uniform, Andrew Woolridge and Steve Bain. Both just had little boys born in the last month, and I've got one coming up in the end of January. So I got a onesie on Custom Ink with our Beyond the Uniform logo on it, and I literally just mailed it to them right before this. So that's great. I mean, I had just a quick plug for Custom Ink. Great, great, great product. Really easy. It took me about 5 minutes to put together the onesie. If Steve and Andrew are listening, it took hours. I want to boost this up and get some credit for this. But it honestly took 5 minutes to do it, and I didn't realize that they do design work as well. But for listeners.
Yeah.
In the show notes, I'll add a link to Custom Ink, and if you want to check that out. What about, you know, you talked about that you used a family connection to incorporate. How much did that cost, and like how long did that take you to incorporate?
To get the company incorporated?
Yeah.
So I will say I obviously my dad knew that I was starting this company, and so he put me in contact then with our family accountant, obviously, because you need all that hard work and the legal side of it. She works with a lawyer, so that's a great place to start. A lot of those people, they all kind of know each other and they work together. So for anyone who doesn't know where to start, that, you know, usually those kinds of people know other people. So she put me in touch with the lawyer. With our lawyer, you know, she said that she would incorporate me once she sees my business plan. Well, at the time I didn't even have a business plan. So the incorporation process did take a little bit of time, because I then had to go and write a business plan. You know, when she said that, I go, oh, can you help me? Like, I had no idea what entailed on the business plan. And this is actually an area where I really leveraged Corey. Because he is such a good writer and he's very organized. You know, we were able to put together the framework through going to the Small Business Development Center, SBDC. They're great. I attended two classes on how to write a business plan, is literally what it was called. So
one thing I think we both figured out pretty quickly, when Stephanie says we have all these ideas and we want to create something tangible, And, you know, you ask yourself, what is the next step? One thing I think we figured out was there is no one next step. It's like you have all of these train cars that are on parallel tracks, and eventually they're going to go down and link up and become one train. But there's a ton of just things to do that are all happening at the same time. So while we're trying to get incorporated, we're doing things like writing the business plan and considering what our website wants to look like, or what are our pillars going to be, and what is our company going to stand for. So getting that business plan written was a huge step, along with the logo and feeling like we had something tangible, but also helping with the finances part of it, because starting a business with very little to no capital is and was at the time very challenging.
Yeah. So, because in addition to just getting incorporated, you need to understand, well, what kind of incorporation do you want to have? Do you want to be an LLC, a sole proprietor, an S corp, a C corp? There's all these questions. And that's where then I leverage my accountant. And so I would talk with my accountant, and then I talk back with my lawyer, and then I'm consulting Corey on the business plan. And so there were all of these things. So I would say it took us, you know, a good 6 months to have the business plan, decide what we were going to incorporate as far as the structure, and then actually get incorporated. And that was probably around, I don't know the exact number, but I'm thinking it was around $1,000.
And for listeners who might not be as familiar, what did you decide to incorporate as, and what's the quick reasoning behind your decision on that?
Sure. So we incorporated as an S corp. So C corp is like the highest one. So a C corp, you would think of like your Coca-Cola's of the world. That's a C corp. We are an S corp. So we decided to go one step down from a C corp, but a step up from like an LLC, because having an S corp releases you from liability. So I knew starting the business, I didn't want someone who was upset or had an issue with our, you know, clothing to come in when they sue the company. They can't take my home or my car, things like that. But the benefit to being an S corp over a C corp when you're this small is the tax standpoint. Anything the business makes or loses is seen as my personal income or debt. So I'm only taxed once on that, because the profit the business has is also my income. So it's one tax versus a C corp. You're taxed on the profit and then you're taxed on an income. So it's like a little bit of a semantics thing, but that's kind of a quick synopsis.
That's awesome. And then how did you go about designing the initial product? Are you hopping on a plane and going to like Hong Kong, or like where? How do you build this physical product?
No, we built it right in our family room. it was a very amateur approach, you know. So basically, I knew kind of the pain points of what I didn't like, the way the clothing was designed, and so I went to competitors outside of triathlon, actually, that I loved the fit of, that I would wear for other workouts, and then I would take my triathlon uniform and what's the utility of the triathlon suit. And then what's the comfort and what I love about the other piece, and how do I marry those together? And so Corey actually, you know, we sat down in the family room, we had all these pieces laid out, and we're just kind of like visually putting stuff together. We're writing down notes to give to like a manufacturer, like a pattern maker, and
taking pictures.
Oh yeah. Taking pictures and kind of just very amateurly, just writing down on a piece of paper, okay, if I give you these three pieces, take this part, and this part, and make it into one piece.
That's wild. How long did it take from, like, let's say the first time that you sat down to do this to the point where you had something that you were ready to sell? Was that like 6 months or a month, or like how long did that whole process take?
Till I was ready to set, like I was going to market.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took me like, no, a year and a half.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Because you have to think about, we wanted to be very thoughtful and intentional in the design, and you're going to go through multiple rounds of prototypes and samples before you kind of settle on one that you love. And then it has to be manufactured, and I had to source everything. So with apparel specifically, there's all these extra things that go into it, like the fabric and the trims and all of those things. So the manufacturers I was finding, I had to supply everything. So then I had to wear my sourcing hat and be the sourcer and go and find what fabric do I want to use and what's going to be the best utility but the most comfortable and all that kind of stuff. And then I had to ship it to them. And so there was so many steps.
Yeah. Working with an out of town manufacturer in middle America while we're in San Diego was definitely challenging, but I think the worst thing you could do is come up with a product that you yourself don't like, and then you go to market with it, and how can you expect anyone else to like it? So you go through those revision processes and make sure that you have something that you're ready to represent you as a new company.
Yeah.
And we chatted about this just quickly before we started the recording, but I think that something for listeners to really take away from this is just understanding the unexpectedly long amount of time that it takes to bring anything to the market. And so, you know, Stephanie's talking about a year and a half just to get the product ready to go out there. And one question I had, Stephanie, was if you're comfortable sharing the approximate amount of money that you needed to put into the business up into the point of like actually getting money through the door. I think that's kind of helpful for aspiring entrepreneurs who are listening to understand just kind of the capital requirements. And then the other piece of that is, from what I understand, you were working another job until very recently. And so kind of your own internal thinking about at what point you were ready and able to jump over full time to focusing on the business.
So oftentimes people, you know, they'll say, oh, okay, I've got this idea. I want to start this business. I'm going to quit my job and jump into it full time. And so that's the worst thing you can do, because having a capital is, even to this day, an extreme pain point for us and for any new company. You can never have enough money. Everything will take you twice as long and cost twice as much. So just knowing that, you'll never be surprised by anything. But yes, I kept my full-time job, here in San Diego, I went to market. I kept it even a couple months past that till I finally, you know, we felt comfortable that, okay, we've got something people are buying and it seems to be working. So now that the business is taking more and more of my attention, I was able to transition out of that job and then into this full time. One of the advantages to the business plan and having a good business plan, and for myself and for Corey, you know, at the time we had, you know, good credit and, you know, we didn't have a lot of other like debts or loans taken out. Of course, Corey going to the Naval Academy is great. I was lucky, you know, my parents to help me with college. So we didn't really have a lot of debt, and we had, you know, we were in a good financial position, and we had a great business plan. So through the Small Business Development Center, SBDC, they introduced me to a company called Axion, and I qualified for a $50,000 loan through them. So that was really the cornerstone for us, that we could say, okay, we've got the money now. Now we can really invest into the business, order the, you know, the inventory, you know, all of the upfront costs of starting a business.
That's awesome. And for listeners, just a reminder, in the show notes for this episode, I'll include links to Custom Ink, SBDC, Axion, all the things that Stephanie's mentioning here, in case you are flying a plane or driving a submarine while you're listening to this. The other thing I was wondering about is, so you have your product, you're ready to sell. It seems like oftentimes it's almost like you've just completed a marathon and now you've got this Ironman triathlon in front of you. And sometimes I feel like people don't anticipate that or expect that. Could you talk about, like, once you had the product ready, how do you cut through all the noise and get people to notice you? Like, how do you actually start selling this?
Yeah, and that's the beauty of marketing. And I will say that that has been something that's been difficult for me because I'm a finance person. I'm the numbers. I know the business end of it and all of the nitty gritties on that side. I'm not creative. And so thankfully, Corey is a little creative. And I really leverage some of my friends too. You know, your community, people want to see you succeed. They want to be excited for you. Don't be afraid or embarrassed to talk about it. People want to help and be excited. And so, yeah, I leaned on some of my friends and to kind of help me with some creative things. But I will say, yeah, your go-to-market strategy is extremely important. And that's a huge part of the business plan and figuring out, okay, once you have your stuff, how are you selling it? How are you getting rid of it basically as fast as possible to make money back to then reinvest? And so for us doing, you know, we got like our hashtag Find Yours, which is, you know, our company perspective and playing off of that, you know, life's all about perspective and helping people to redefine their priorities or perspective, gain new ones, find one, things like that. And so leveraging that, our social media, you know, our Facebook and Instagram presence. And then, of course, starting just small in our community, going to the local events, like where you met me. You know, putting up a booth at the local triathlon events that we really wanted to focus on. And, you know, we hang like our big American flag, our product that, you know, is made locally in the United States. You know, we're obviously military family, and what you kind of caught your eye to me, having our sign that said, you know, we're a veteran-owned company, things like that, and really just engaging with people as they come by, and people are curious and they want to know things. But I will say, there's a common misconception of the, if you build this, they will come. And that is not the case. Just because you put up a website doesn't mean people are going to start finding you and flooding it. Right. And same thing at expo events. A lot of people do just walk right on by, and, it can be a little defeating. And so, the biggest thing is having that stamina, that consistency. So no matter, I signed up for all of the local races in San Diego and I went to every single race. And so it's funny because from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, people were finally starting to notice me and say, oh yeah, you know, I saw you at such and such race, or, you know, so even when I'm like, oh, one race sucks and I didn't really make a lot of money, but then this next race I did so well and people are starting to see me. So it's really, you know, having that stamina and not, you know, getting down on yourself.
Yeah, it's one of the number one pet peeves that I have when I talk to aspiring entrepreneurs is this, the questions I get, and I come more from a tech background, so it's usually about, like, you know, will our website crash? And the questions are always like, oh, well, when we launch, how are we going to keep up with the demand? I'm like, dude, you should be so lucky to be overwhelmed. I've never talked to anyone who launched and, like, had a line around the block. It's always 100% always, like, you know, you finish this monolithic task of bringing something new to the world, and then you're just a tiny peep in this just thunder of noise. And it's like, how on earth do you cut through that? And what I'm really appreciating what you're saying, Stephanie, is the persistence and the tenacity and the resilience. And it really is like, I picture you showing up at all of these events, and it's, you know, at least for me, I can hide behind an online product where I'm not face to face with customers walking by, looking at my booth and passing on. And like, that's got to be draining. And that's also seems like absolutely inevitable in this sort of path. And so I love that you're highlighting that stick-to-it-ness that's really required to just keep showing up and keep being a presence and keep getting people's attention and slowly, just bit by excruciating bit, starting to get a following and some traction.
That's so true. I told Stephanie yesterday, we were on the plane back to San Diego, that this company is going to succeed because of her drive and her stamina and her resiliency. So going to all of those events, and even when it's not going well, having just the grit to put on a smile and engage people and bring them in and get them involved and see what you're doing on a weekly basis is incredible. And as you do that and you go to these events, you know, you do start to, people start to recognize you and start to, oh, you're the booth with the American flag. I mean, it's really exciting to see that even after, you know, less than 1 year of being live to have that little bit. And Stephanie is out there creating her own events. She gets on websites and Instagram and social media, and she talks to other female entrepreneurs, and together she's like, hey, do you want to put on an event? And she creates events and she creates a little market for women to go to. And of course, you know, that works out because there's no upfront cost for those events that you're putting on your own. It's just being creative. She may not give herself enough credit for being a saleswoman or being creative, but there's a huge personality piece that goes to it. And when you're a one or two person team, that counts for a lot.
I'll say when I first started, my dad told me, remember the number 12. I'm like, okay. And he said, in sales, it takes on average 12 points of contact before someone says yes. So whether that's a customer or we're talking to wholesale accounts with another buyer to get into stores, just because they say no today or they pass by your booth that day doesn't mean it's a no forever or they're not going to circle back. That often it takes people 12 interactions until they finally buy in. So when you think about that and you look at that perspective, you're like, okay, well, you know, one or two times you can't get down. That's not sales. That's not a business. You know, that's, you have to have that, that consistency and just keep going.
I love that. Yeah. I've heard that with marketing as well. It's like, I the number I'd heard was like 8 or 9. It takes 8 or 9 impressions, but I love that rule of 12. There's something too about just setting the expectation. I think that so many of us enter into this game with the expectation of one impression, one sale, one interaction, one sale. And when you do that, just going to be so disappointed. But even having that mindset of 12 interactions, it really sets the expectation of, like, you know, everyone who passes by, maybe they see that, see your logo, and then maybe they see something on Facebook, and maybe they hear about it from a friend, and just, it's just mind-boggling to think of the 12 interactions necessary. But that's just that goes with the territory. Could you share, Stephanie, just kind of a little bit about your day-to-day? I know it helps listeners, especially those on active duty, to get the granular sense of what life is like for you. And I'm sure there's so much variability in that, but just, you know, walk us through either a representative day or yesterday or some sense of what your life looks like now.
Yeah. So now on the day to day, so I still work out of our home, you know, in our condo here in San Diego. I recently brought someone on board to help me with some of the design work, because now that we have our first collection out there, it's what are we doing next, right? So in retail, it's always moving forward. Fashion, you know, you have to keep up with the trends. And so now on a day-to-day, you know, I'll get up, I'll make my coffee, and I try to get dressed. So, because, you know, when you work at home, you can really do whatever you want. No one really sees you. So I try to act like I'm going to work. I'm going to a job. And then, you know, I sit down at my computer after. So I make sure I do the little things like brush your hair and brush your teeth. And once people, you know, if you were listening to this and you've started your business or want to, eventually you'll appreciate that. I guess the day-to-day, it's a lot of like email work, keeping up with my go-to-market strategy, collaborating with the race partners that I have, the shows I go to, working on the website, getting in front of that, the digital marketing, because, you know, the going to the shows is great, but it's not sustainable. Like you said, it's very grueling and taxing. And so we've really now been working on how to drive people to our website. So I work on a lot of the Facebook advertising, the Instagram and social media approach, continuing to hone in our website, imaging, working with my new designer on the new products. Right now we're trying to come out with our spring 2019 collection. So right now I'm in the middle of finalizing all of our patterns. We're getting samples made right now. I just got more fabric in like last week before the holidays. So we're having samples cut and sewed right now as we speak, which is really exciting. So next week I'm going to go to the manufacturer. I'm going to see the samples. We're going to go over the colors, that sort of thing. Then we got to do a photo shoot. So I don't know. I guess that's where I'm at right now.
I love it. I mean, I love that thought too. And I can relate to that of just even the simple act of like, because I've worked from home periodically throughout the last 10 years. And it's just the little things, like you said, of just getting dressed and just doing these little routines that make it feel more legitimate. And I also just wanted to point out for listeners too, one thing I appreciate about Stephanie's background is she has 5 years of a hard skill that's directly relevant to the company she started. But then, you know, when she was talking about marketing, it's an area that doesn't come naturally to her. And that's inevitable in starting a company. There's going to be areas where you're strong and there's areas where you're not as strong. And one of the reasons why I was excited to connect with Corey and Stephanie is that, you know, already you've heard about how they're able to work together to keep the company going, and where Corey was able to pitch in the writing of the business plan. And one of the things I wanted to ask you both about was, what is it like working with a spouse? And I know Stephanie is the bulk behind the company, but what is it like working together to bring this new idea to life?
So I think it's an interesting relationship, and we really have to try to focus on separating when are we having a business meeting and when are we meeting as a couple, because they blend, and then we're working out of our home. So it gets very fuzzy and there's many shades of gray there. And so, it's been really interesting over the last 2 years working with him. And so I think that's one thing that we've really tried to focus on now is, are we having a business meeting? Or are we having a meeting as a couple? But it's also been really fun. And we kind of like, it's fun to surprise each other and see all the, you know, doing it together. And, and you're in the lows together and you're in the highs together. And you've got that person who is, you know, your number one. And then they're also doing this with you. So it's a good support system too.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with all that. I was watching downhill skiing not too long ago, and one of the skiers said that they were coached by their father, you know, and they would try to have very distinct conversations, but of course it's going to blend. And that reminded me of Stephanie's and my relationship. And I think it's absolutely doable. And I think it's okay if they blend sometimes, because all of the reasons that I love Stephanie, many of them are the reasons that this business is going to succeed. Her drive, she's unstoppable. and she's so relatable. And so when we're having business meetings or we're having a meeting as a couple, if there's conversations that cross over, to me, that's okay.
That's great. And I know multiple companies and founders and entrepreneurs where the company went under because of a conflict between the co-founders. And so it's, I think one thing that this brings as an asset is there's a deeper level of trust and aligned interests that, you know, by no means do I imagine it being easy or smooth sailing, but at least there's a level of trust and communication that seems to bode well, as opposed to people who might not know each other as well or might think they know each other, and then they get into it and there's quite a bit of conflict. I also wanted to ask, Corey, for you, what it's like being on active duty and be involved with starting a company while still serving.
Challenging. And again, being on active duty and being part owner of a company, I think the biggest challenge is time management. And so, yes, Stephanie is the head and the face of the business, but the challenge of going to work and working not regular hours at a squadron, and then coming home and maybe Stephanie is awake or maybe she's not because I landed late at night, and then having to do a little things here and there without her around are definitely challenging. So I think time management is the biggest stressor for that. And being on active duty, if it wasn't for her, someone who to handle the day to day, I don't think there would be a company because there's just so much that goes into the life of being on active duty, just like any other full-time job.
Yeah.
And we've talked about, you've given a lot of perspective and advice. I'm just curious if someone listening is either on active duty or they're the spouse of someone serving in the military, what advice do you have for them about either just more generally starting a company or more specifically starting a new clothing line?
When Stephanie still worked in the corporate world or for another corporation, we would talk a lot about the similarities between corporate structure and military structure. And we found that they're surprisingly similar in a lot of ways. Both have different departments that specialize, in achieving a goal that's part of a larger mission. The goals and missions are different, but, those departments are kind of structured the same. There's a chain of command. And so kind of taking a look around you while you're still on active duty and appreciating some of the structure that the military has, and of course the leadership that is involved in your particular organization, and writing down the things that you like and taking the things that you don't like and learning from those maybe just as much or even more. I would also recommend taking advantage of many of the military benefits that are out there. For sailors without commissions, the Stay 21 program, the post 9/11 GI Bill, and all of this, and continuing to educate yourself because the military values those, and there's a lot you can bring to the table for your specific organization and then the Department of Defense as a whole, because you are still supporting a larger entity, even though it may not seem obvious to you. The military values those educations and skills that you can develop, and that's why they offer those programs. And then take what you've learned and write it down and try to internalize it and have a good, database of organizations and products that you use and take them into your private life and improve on them. I think that's it.
Yeah, I think that's good because, for a lot of people, especially for active duty members who are looking to get out, and even if they're not starting, their own company, transitioning into the civilian world, it was very interesting and enlightening how when Corey and I would talk about, my job and his job before I left and started the company, how similar they were in structure. And so for advice on starting your own company, I would say definitely getting structure, knowing day-to-day tasks. Like you said, it's the small things. What does my Monday look like? What does my Tuesday look like? What's my 1 week goal, 5 week goal, 6 month goal, year goal? Take yourself out and really put together a structure and a plan of what milestones do you want to hit, and then drill down to the day-to-day of, okay, how am I going to hit those?
That's great. I love that thought around structure. And for listeners, I'll add this in the show notes, but I did in episode 96, a book review of an author who's been on the show, Cal Newport. He wrote a book called Deep Work. And it's been really helpful for me because I echo what Stephanie's saying about the importance of structure. It's a good process of just establishing more structure in your life to do deeper and more valuable work. Sometimes I feel drawn to the superficial and the easy stuff like responding to emails, which may not be the highest leverage use of my time. And so I'll put that in the show notes as a quick recap. What about, is there any other resources that either of you have found helpful that could be books or podcasts or conferences, anything that you have found helpful to your entrepreneurial journey that you would recommend to listeners. And I've got in the show notes so far the SBDC and Axion and State 21 and the GI Bill, but anything beyond those that you would recommend people check out?
Yeah, so there are some podcasts you can definitely search around. I would encourage everyone to look up some like entrepreneurial podcasts. There's one in particular called How I Started This. I love listening to that podcast. He goes and interviews successful entrepreneurs, like, you know, who started Lululemon. He interviewed Kate Spade. He interviewed Airbnb, Lyft, you know, all different kinds of entrepreneurs. And it just talks about their journey, how they started and how they became really successful. So for me, I love listening to that because I'm in the trenches right now. And so it's great to know, okay, I'm not alone and things that I'm experiencing are normal, or, you know, there isn't one right way to a path of success, and success looks different for everyone. So I love that. And then also just like, you know, your leadership skills and who do you want to be as a leader in the company? There's a book called It's Your Ship. It was written by Captain D. Michael Abershaw. And he was the former commander of the USS Benfold. And so I loved reading that book and kind of learning about, okay, well, who do I also want to be as a leader? Because that's something that's really going to dictate and set the tone for the type of company that you develop.
For me, there's a book called The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg, and he makes the argument that really whatever you want to do, it may not necessarily be business, but if your goal is to lose weight or be more productive, or maybe it is success in business, that will stem from understanding how habits work. And so kind of harnessing what is behind that science, as he kind of explains, there's a lot to be had there.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And totally echo. I love How I Built This with Guy Raz. Great podcast. I find a lot of encouragement because no one has it easy. And it's maybe Mark Cuban. I feel like he's the only interview I've heard where I'm like, dude, this guy just clicks. But everyone else, like, you just hear in the trenches and how crazy it is. And then I will actually check out It's Your Ship and The Power of Habit. I haven't read either of those.
Those are great books.
Yep. Well, I wonder, I always like to keep the last question open-ended, and this has been really fantastic. I appreciate both of your perspectives on the true grit of the situation and just what it's like to bring something new to the world. But before we wrap up, what have we not covered that you want to make sure listeners know?
I think we did a really good job. Those were great questions. We covered a lot of the, what we wanted to talk about and share in our experience. I think it's just starting a business. It's just not easy. And so, and I know I say that people are like, oh yeah, people expect it not to be easy, but you really don't know what it's like until you're doing it. And so, keep going would be something that I'd want to leave people with. And there's been a lot of lows, but there's also been some really great highs. And so just keep pivoting and keep moving and keep nimble and moving forward.
One little idea I don't think we've really touched on. When Stephanie stopped working for corporate America and started working for Perspective Fitwear, I saw her really just working around the clock and not really giving herself personal time. Like you need to have time for Stephanie and not all of your time is dedicated towards Perspective Fitwear, because you don't work a 8-to-5 anymore. So be sure. And again, I think that goes to structure. This is time for your business and this is time to relax. I think that's important.
Yeah. Just to echo that with him really quickly. Someone told me, treat yourself like an employee in your own business. So would how you're working and how much you're working or what you're doing, put your employee hat on and say, well, would I be happy with this company if this is what I was having to do for them? And so I thought that was really insightful and thoughtful. And so I've really tried hard to take that into consideration as well and say, yeah, you know, maybe this Saturday I won't work.
That's awesome. I love that perspective too of, as Corey said, having that personal time. But I love the vantage point of you and yourself as an employee, because it's like, I think that none of us would want to work for someone who is just forcing you to grind it out 24/7, and we realize that would burn out an employee. And so realizing that applies to you as well, even though it feels like there's an endless list of to-dos and never stop work, you have to have some sort of balance to be able to do this for the long haul. I lied. I have one more question. I just want to make sure is what's next for, like, in 2019, what's ahead for Perspective Fitwear? And the other piece of that is, if listeners are fired up about what you're doing, how can they support you both?
Awesome. Great question. So what's next for us? Well, not only are we going to be coming out with a new collection, and we're also going to have some products out there geared for runners as well, and not just triathlon, but going into a total wellness and active lifestyle within hiking and our rock climbing. That's how Corey and I actually met. But all those sorts of activities. And with that, we are really excited. We have our second meeting with REI, the stores. We're up in Washington. I've met with the buyers once already. So I'm going back up there at the end of January to meet with the new buyer taking over the category. And we are going to be putting together hopefully a buy to test in a handful of locations. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah, and I hope down the road, probably not 2019, but eventually stem into men's multi-apparel as well.
Yeah.
Because the only thing Perspective Fitwear I get to wear right now are our visors, which are unisex. And we have a custom ink, cotton t-shirt with the logo on it, which is really, exactly. It's really fun to wear your own logo. But right now that's where we are. So down the road.
Yeah.
That's great. I think that's also just a great, good example for listeners. I think that a lot of the businesses I admire, they start with a laser focus, hyper niche focus in terms of what they're doing. And then as you do that, as you get momentum, you can start to expand to address other opportunities. And I think that when I see companies do the opposite, it's just too much. You're trying to do too much. And so what I love about that is the simple starting point, although there's nothing simple about it, even that I'm sure was like moving the earth, but the relatively simple starting point of focusing on women's triathlon fitwear, and then now being able to expand into rock climbing and then potentially both genders, and it gives a lot of more possibilities. And huge congrats on the even having one conversation with REI. I can only imagine how impregnable of a fortress that is to get into. And that's literally, as soon as we hang up, that's where I'm headed, is to REI to get a couple things for the weekend. So it'll be exciting to hopefully see you guys in those stores soon. That would be just a monumental leap forward.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. We're very excited.
Awesome. Well, Stephanie, thank you for your time. Corey, thank you for your time as well. And for listeners, in the show notes, I'll have a link to Perspective Fitwear. It's just like it sounds, perspectivefitwear.com, and all the resources we talked about here as well. So thank you both for taking the time to speak with me.
Surface.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond the Uniform. There are over 200 free episodes at beyondtheuniform.io. They're classified by the industry of focus, the functional role the person plays, and more. Beyond the Uniform is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our Director of Outreach, responsible for sponsorship and guest episodes, is Steve Bain. Our editor, responsible for the show notes and text transcripts for all episodes, is Kathleen Dillon. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge. If you are enjoying Beyond the Uniform, you can help us out by telling your veterans and friends in the military about this free resource. There is more information on the website about how you can sponsor an episode or donate to our program to help us grow the work that we're doing. Be sure to check out the coaching section of beyondtheuniform.io, where you can be paired with professional, subsidized coaches to help you figure out your next career move. You can sign up for our newsletter to be up to date on the latest happenings at Beyond the Uniform. And in each show notes section, there is a link to audible.com, which is providing a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. You get a free book of your choosing, and Beyond the Uniform gets $15 to subsidize the cost of the show, regardless of whether you continue with Audible.com or not. Check that out and more in the show notes for this episode. Keep the feedback coming. Let me know what resources would help you in your career, and we'll do our best to make that happen. Take care, be safe, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.